hello there. Once again, we welcome you to Speaking of Schools. I'm Doug Keel from South Carolina's Department of Education. And last month, the Carolina Classroom series, that is a monthly feature of South Carolina Educational Television, broached the topic of assessment in schools, and admittedly, that can often be confusing. That was the key educational topic for the month of February, and various guests from the Department of Education and other agencies joined host Dawn Samples for the February Carolina Classroom. We've got the audio portion of that for you today in case you missed it. So join us as we focus on assessment with the February Carolina Classrooms from SCETV on Speaking of Schools.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Carolina Classrooms. I'm Dawn Samples. The topic of assessment in schools can often be confusing. Tonight, we'll learn about changes in assessment for South Carolina public school students, as well as the results of a survey that looks at exactly how much testing is happening in schools today. Joining me for tonight's discussion is Melanie Barton, Executive Director of the South Carolina Education Oversight Committee. Welcome, Melanie.
Thank you.
Dr. Sheila Quinn from the South Carolina Department of Education. Welcome, Sheila.
Thank you very much.
And Dr. Sean Alford, Superintendent of Aiken County School District. Thank you all for being here with us tonight.
Thank you as well.
So as you all well know, assessment is a bit of a hot topic right now in the world of education. Mm-hmm. A lot of parents and students and even administrators have questions about why we're testing, what we're testing. So let's talk just a little bit about what changes have taken place and what's happening in the assessment world in education right now.
Okay, so of course we've been on a bit of a roller coaster in South Carolina the last couple of years with testing. We've changed tests, and that's part of the reason why assessment is such a hot topic right now. We had the PASS test in English Language Arts and Mathematics, and then last year we had the Aspire test. And I'm happy to tell you this year we have got a test that we hope we're going to have for the next 5 years. We've got a 5-year contract on this test that we're developing, and it's called SC Ready. SC Ready in English Language Arts and Math will be for grades 3-8. And the really nice thing about this assessment, it's going to do a little bit of what PASS did and a little bit of what ACT Aspire did, in that it's going to give us a score that thoroughly tests our South Carolina standards, mm-hmm. so that you know how your child is doing at each individual grade level. But it's also going to have a normative component that allows us to see how is this child doing outside, compared to students outside of South Carolina. So it's a nationally normed and a criterion reference test, which is going to help us have some perspective for in-state and out-of-state. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. We're also giving our SC PASS test in science and social studies. So that has not changed, and that's a good thing. So we have some consistency there.
I know there is some concern sometimes from parents and teachers mm-hmm. about how much testing we are doing. And can you talk to me just a little bit about why we are doing the tests that we're doing, and why is it important? Why do we need the different kinds of data?
I'll start with that one.
Okay.
The purpose of assessment is to improve teaching and learning. I hate to use this comparison, but we all know we've got our bathroom scale, you know, in our bathrooms. And you get on there and you see where you are on that weight loss, hopefully not a weight gain, but it's a way to measure. Mm-hmm. And so you take those results, and then you try to improve your teaching and learning. It's all about the students learning. Mm-hmm. So they're what confuses the debate so many times, that there's so many different types of assessments. I mean, from the simple assessment of the teacher standing up and saying, did you get the right answer? Yes, thumbs up or thumbs down. That's an assessment, to be honest.
Right.
But they're all different kinds of assessments. Some are required by federal or state law. You've got some that are district, mm-hmm. some that are school, some that are an individual teacher, like your Friday spelling test. That's an assessment.
Right.
So I think a lot of times we hear all about all the different types of assessments. Some are used to capture what the student knows at the end of the year, some in the middle of the year. Mm-hmm. And parents see this as a time away from instruction. But the key is how to quickly get that quick turnaround from those assessment results and improve teaching and learning. Right. That's the goal. Do we do it well? And sometimes yes, sometimes no, I'm going to be honest. Mm-hmm. So, but that's the big issue.
So there is a learning curve for the teachers too, and being purposeful
yes.
about what we choose to assess, mm-hmm. and then using the assessment to really be for that purpose and inform instructional practice.
Absolutely. I think the most important thing, though, is that we find a comfortable mix. Mm-hmm. I think any high-quality assessment system has two components. It has a formative component mm-hmm. and a summative component. The individual classroom teacher really needs to have relative and instant feedback to inform their instruction, yes. But then also, we can't take the results at the classroom level to determine how well our students are doing
right.
on a larger scale. Mm-hmm. So to have those summative assessments and to have some sort of national criteria for us to take a look at from time, they're just striking the balance is always the challenge.
Right. And that helps, I think, that external assessment helps us see where we are across the board mm-hmm. in our state and nationally.
Right.
Absolutely. It informs curriculum decisions. It mm-hmm. informs programmatic decisions. Mm-hmm. So you do have to have that statewide comparison mm-hmm. to see how your school is performing.
And it also, you know, highlights those challenges we have. We are a state that's had a lot of academic gaps
right.
in some of our students, and it's time to address those and raise up every student. So I think it really, and there are times where we just celebrate. I mean, we celebrated the release of the Work Keys results that
right.
last year,
yeah.
that our kids were on national par with other students, then they are ready for the careers. That we've got some way to go with some, but it was a wonderful experience to see our students did so well compared to their national peers on that one assessment.
That is exciting. And so tell me just a little bit, when you think about how assessment might inform, we've talked a little bit about how it informs instruction, helping parents understand how it might inform them about student learning and student growth. That's a different focus than maybe how when they were in school and they had tests or assessment. It may have been more about achievement rather than growth. Or talk to me a little bit about that.
And that's probably been the greatest challenge, I think, that we've had as a state as it relates to our past assessments, is that they just the results have not been communicated to parents in a way that's really been able to give them a better picture, make it more relative to their students' progress toward their long-term goals.
Mm-hmm.
We're certainly doing some things here in the recent past to change that paradigm. And that's a point of celebration as well, because student results now are really moving towards more fluid conversations with a larger group of stakeholders. For
mm-hmm.
instance, job creators, business owners, our chambers of commerce. When they look at Work Keys results, that's a whole lot more meaningful.
Right.
For those potential employers, mm-hmm. absolutely.
So we've got some tips here that you all are prepared to share with parents and teachers and community members. And these tips are to sort of help us see how we can gauge success and how to find out more. So would you like to tell us just a little bit about these?
I will go through a few of them. The first one is one of the most important. Find out what tests are given at your child's school. We have a state schedule of the end-of-year tests that are given, but you know, in your individual school, you'll have formative assessments. Find out when those tests are going to be given. If you don't have that information, ask your child's teacher or principal about that. And when you know when those tests are, make sure you avoid scheduling conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
I know, you know, sick children happen, but if you can withhold on doing, when you're really trying to help your child succeed in school, it's setting those daily times of reading, of limited interruptions where they're focusing on their schoolwork, where mom and dad and grandmother and grandfather are sitting there with them and talking about the homework, applying it to the everyday life. That is so important for kids to see that connection of understanding why we have to understand division, because we're baking a cake or we're dividing the recipe mm-hmm. in half. So it's a great way to do that. The more you do and talk about it, those are big things.
How it applies to the real world.
And I would say, especially for your older kids that tend to overschedule their lives,
mm-hmm.
or sometimes mom and dad can mm-hmm. overschedule, just teaching them the time management. Don't wait till the last minute. You know, begin studying 3-4 days ahead of time.
Right.
Really budget your time well. That's a big life skill that our students need to learn.
It is. And I know some parents may also not realize that not all schools give all the same tests.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So being proactive in finding out if you're in a new school or mm-hmm. at a different level what tests are being offered. Right?
And ask why.
And why.
The why is the big question. To say, what will this test mean, and how can I look at the results and then help parents need that because teachers need that support from the home. And so this is a way for us to work together.
And I think the why has been an important question. Administrators and districts have also been asking, because I know in my district we've been evaluating what do we really need to assess and what can we let go of and what is most important that will help us reach our goals. So are there, do you have any guidance for navigating those waters and prioritizing?
Well, I would say just exactly those same questions you're talking about. What data are we getting? Is it meaningful data? Is it being communicated to the child and to the parent to change something or to at least to inform? And if it's not being used, sometimes we give tests and we don't use the results.
Right.
If it's not being used, ask yourself, do you really need to give that test?
Right. Not just because we've always given it.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So let's see. Another one of the tips we have is we've already talked about setting a daily time, discussing homework with your child. When students are given tests and they have to make up tests, is there a particular window that they have to have those tests made up within, or is there an open-ended time for parents to?
Depends if it's summative or formative.
Right.
If it's a formative test, that's a local decision. If it's a summative state test, there are certain days that they have to make it up, and schools are very, very good at communicating that with parents because, as you know, the federal government requires we test 95%. Mm-hmm. So schools are very careful to make sure we retest. I've heard stories about them going out to the community to test mm-hmm. if they have to. So mm-hmm. they want to make sure they get accurate results from all children.
And what can students do if they're homebound and they're not able to be at school for testing? What options do those students have?
Schools go to great lengths to work that out with parents on an individual basis. And again, I've seen many homebound teachers testing in the home because the child is too sick to come in.
Right. So the parents should expect the school to be in communication.
Most definitely.
With them.
Absolutely.
Okay. We've got some more tips now. Would any of you like to talk about any of these?
The one that I think a lot of our students, and it's on both extremes, so those real high-achieving students who get upset over test dates, and they feel the pressure, mm-hmm. and a lot of times they bring it on themselves because mm-hmm. we have those high-achieving
right.
students. Just for the parents to really instill upon them, this is just do your best. I used to say just shine and show what you know. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. Because the term high-stakes testing is often thrown around a lot nationally and in our state. And to be perfectly honest, we don't really have high-stakes testing for students. I mean, whether you pass this SC Ready or not, it's not going
to
change whether you're promoted or not.
Going to the next grade.
That's it. So mm-hmm. for students, I just tell them, really just show us what you know. Mm-hmm. Do your best. The more relaxed you are, the better you'll do. And for parents, that same, you know, just don't push them too much. Just really keep monitoring over time their progress. And that's what I would tell parents. You need to know where your child is, especially on two things, reading and math. Those mm-hmm. are the critical components.
Right.
They need to know where they are.
Mm-hmm. And helping, I think, focus on the learning.
Right. And enjoying learning
right.
for the sake of
we
learning.
We don't want the testing to kill that enthusiasm for learning.
It's funny. I was talking with my own children about their PSAT results. I have an 8th grader who took it and a 10th grader who took it. So they both took the PSAT. And they were both talking about, how do I improve this score the next time? And one of the key tips I would say is read more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just that daily habit of reading more for pleasure. Will really take those scores up. And we were comparing our scores with a child that has her star by her name for all the books she's read this year on the school chart, mm-hmm. and her scores were higher. So that's a natural test-taking tip that we don't think about.
And it's something simple that they can start as early as preschool or even earlier, just that daily reading.
That's it. And one of the big things is time management for kids going away to college. They've got to learn how to balance all those skills without mom or dad standing over them. So I've talked to a lot of our colleges and universities. They said that is the one area. They can come in with all the AP credits they want, but if they've not learned that time management, mm-hmm. when you have all these distractions in college, that's the issue.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think it's hard for mom and dad to let go, to let them learn mm-hmm. that time management too, and that's sort of an assessment in and of itself.
A personal assessment.
I think so. I think also another important area, and it may not be a tip that we have listed, but relativity. to me, is a tremendous factor as it relates to student success and their ability to perform well, particularly this last year when we saw a number of juniors across the state have access to, for the first time, an assessment that really would determine what they would be able to do when they left high school. That was not a very hard conversation for school administrators to have.
Right.
Hey, come in, we're going to get ready for this assessment, and if you do well, this is what you can do afterwards. So the level of relativity just really increased, I think, the students' ability to see the value in what took place and parents as well.
Let's create some enthusiasm around taking the test.
And I think the really nice thing about doing it in the junior year is that if you don't do as well as you want to do, you have opportunities in the senior year to take those tests again. And you're talking about ACT, but I'm also including Work Keys.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those two high school assessments that have portable scores that you can apply to college with or apply to a job with ultimately can be retaken in the 12th grade year.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's at the student's choice because they want to get it better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a win-win.
We've got some questions that we've received from some of our viewers. So I'm going to throw some of these out there. And if it's something you feel comfortable answering, I'll let you answer. So this one I think might be one for you, Sean. This is from a parent who says that my child's a fourth grade student. Where can I find out the test my child has to take this year?
Extremely important. And I'll restate something that Melanie shared earlier. The first point of contact would really be that classroom teacher or the student school, because the local assessments will be different from district to district, and they'll be different from grade level to grade level. So the best place to go for the most authentic information would be that individual classroom teacher, but then also the leadership at that school.
So another question that we received is from another parent who says, my ninth grade son really struggles with reading, and he took three different tests this past fall. I like that my school is trying so hard to help him, but why so many tests?
And again, that goes back to what did that test want to measure? Was it the child's comprehension?
Mm-hmm.
Was it vocabulary? If I were that parent, I would schedule a time to come sit down and talk to his English teacher and say, show me the test, tell me what it showed, what you're doing to help my child, and what I can do to help you. That's the teamwork working together. But I would really, especially for children who are struggling, that's what I would do. And if you don't feel comfortable doing that, because I know a lot of parents have had bad experiences with their own life, take someone with you, take a friend, take someone else who can help you ask those questions.
Mm-hmm.
Could even be a medical provider, pediatrician, or whatever, just to say, we're concerned, what can we do?
Right.
That's the main thing.
And I can tell you that classroom teacher would be delighted for that parent to walk through the door
Absolutely.
And ask that question.
Yes.
And sometimes the tests are not optional.
Correct.
So sometimes they may not have a choice about giving the test.
That's right.
So just being understanding that that's also
yes, that's it. That's
part
it. Finding out the why again.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Mm-hmm. This is a question from a teacher. And this teacher says, I liked that the tests we gave last year were shorter. Will that stay the same for this year?
Great question. The SC Ready test is a little longer than the Aspire test that we took last year for two reasons. First of all, we're trying to do two things, a criterion reference on our state standards and a nationally normed test. So we have part of the questions coming from Terra Nova, which is a nationally normed normative testing venue or vendor, and then we also have our state-developed items. So the tests are going to be a little around 2 hours each day. Their ELA is taken over 2 days, so there's a writing portion, and the writing piece will be very different. Last year, the tests were all timed.
Mm-hmm.
This year, the tests are all untimed, which we're excited about because kids can really take their time and do their very best. The writing piece this year is a text-based writing, so the students are going to read something, and they're going to make a claim about what they've read or make a point and support that point with information from the piece that they've read. So that kind of writing test takes a little bit longer than the type of writing they did last year.
And I can hear the sigh of relief from here from some teachers about the time test.
Yes, definitely. And then the math is, again, about 2 hours as well, but that's because we've got a calculator portion and a non-calculator portion. We've got to take up those calculators and give out the other part of the test. Mm-hmm. If the students are online, the calculator will pop up when they need it and be gone when they don't need it. So the online testers will see those items mixed.
Okay, that's good to know. Mm-hmm. This is another question from a teacher, and it says, at our school, we used to make a big deal of the tests at the end of the year, but that doesn't happen anymore. I want my kids to do the best they can, but it is at the end of the school year and my kids are tired. Is it okay for me to do special things to get my kids interested in the test?
Absolutely. I think one of the best teachers my children had one time, they put a little chocolate on the desk and they said, you know, chocolate helps the brain to do well. You're going to just do. I think it's just the positive atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I love it, you know, some of our districts up in the Cherokee area are doing some really innovative things about motivating, not, you know, academics from a competitive standpoint, not a negative, but a real positive. And I think that's what we need to get into, that learning is fun. Learning allows you to achieve, and it allows you to have a career down the road and a life that you can do everything that you want to do. So I think the more I see schools that really have those great pep rallies, I mean, mm-hmm. you do it for the football teams, you do it for the best, why not for the students? And I enjoy that. I think it helps. And then you talk about the positives of the results. You don't talk about the negatives. You talk about the challenges. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what we did well on, and we're going to improve, and this is what I want you to help us with the next year. It's all how you, I hate to use the word spin, but it is how you spin it. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are children, mm-hmm. and we want to motivate them. We want to have them aspire to the best they can be. Right. So that's the point.
It's the job of the teachers and the administrators to look at where there are deficits.
Correct.
And make the change, not for the parents and the students.
That's right.
But with that being said, I think it's very important that local school districts make a strong effort not to schedule tremendous amounts of instructional time in preparation for an examination. Mm-hmm. Instructional time is valuable. Mm-hmm. And if we do the job that we intend to do, and we share with students high expectations as it relates to the content, they'll perform as long as we've done our job to align those expectations mm-hmm. as well. But we certainly cannot mm-hmm. take chunks 3-4 weeks at a time
right.
of that instructional time away with structured activity just focused on preparation for an assessment.
That's it.
It just needs to be the way the learning happens throughout the year, all year.
Correct.
So we have another question. This is about the MAP test, and it's the teacher's perspective, and it is, my district gives the MAP test 3 times a year. I use this information much more than I do information from the state test. Can we just use the MAP test instead of both?
Well, no, unfortunately not. Our tests are outlined in state law, and that is not our vendor for our state test. However, I highly endorse using a product like MAP for its diagnostic purposes, because you're going to be able to, with that MAP score, drill down to exactly what the child is strong in and exactly what the child needs to work on. And in the past, we've had a very high correlation between MAP and our state test. Mm-hmm. And we'll be looking to make those connections again. We've got a formative assessment set of tests that we're looking at. Do they correlate well to our state tests? And so we can give schools that feedback. And that data is invaluable mm-hmm. on a daily basis for the parent and for mm-hmm. the student and for the teacher.
I know the teachers really use those MAP tests to, like you said, drill down, but really plan for instruction.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Right. But we also have to remember that MAP is a formative assessment. That's a local decision.
Right.
All the school districts in South Carolina don't currently use MAP.
Exactly. Right. So not everyone is doing that 3 times a year.
That's right.
let's do one more question. We have time for maybe one more, and this is a parent's perspective. And it's about MAP again. If a parent wanted to find out about their student's MAP assessment and how well their child did on that MAP assessment, what kinds of questions do they need to ask to interpret that data? And who would they need to go to get the information?
I think that's a scheduled parent conference with the classroom teacher, preferably the teacher of that subject area, with specific questions like, is my student currently meeting expectations in your course? Mm-hmm. Can you show me how that's represented in this set of scores? Well, based on these results, it shows that he or she is doing well on these things, but they're struggling or they're challenged with these things. Mm-hmm. What are you doing in class to help him or her on these things that they're struggling with? What can I do as a parent at home to help with those things as well?
Right.
Even on the side of their strengths. Well, what can we do to extend his or her learning in these areas as well? Mm-hmm. But if that parent conference is made, I guarantee that the teacher would be very willing to guide a parent mm-hmm. through that process.
Mm-hmm. So really, it's all of this really boils down to a lot of communication between the district, the teachers, and the parents in the community.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you all so much for helping clear up some of the confusion that's maybe out there, but also helping us. That's all the time we have for today. Teachers, we'd like to show the great things that are happening in your Carolina classrooms. We invite you to submit a short video, 2 minutes or less, showcasing what you are doing with your students. We might just include it on a future episode. Please visit our website at scetv.org/education to find out the rules and how to submit your video. That's our time for now. We hope to see you next month on Carolina Classrooms. For everyone at ETV, I'm Dawn Samples. Thank you for watching and good night. Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Carolina Classrooms. I'm Dawn Samples. The topic of assessment in schools can often be confusing. Tonight, we'll learn about changes in assessment for South Carolina public school students, as well as the results of a survey that looks at exactly how much testing is happening in schools today. Joining me for tonight's discussion is Melanie Barton, Executive Director of the South Carolina Education Oversight Committee. Welcome, Melanie.
Thank you.
Dr. Sheila Quinn from the South Carolina Department of Education. Welcome, Sheila.
Thank you very much.
And Dr. Sean Alford, Superintendent of Aiken County School District. Thank you all for being here with us tonight.
Thank you as well.
So as you all well know, assessment is a bit of a hot topic right now in the world of education. Mm-hmm. A lot of parents and students and even administrators have questions about why we're testing, what we're testing. So let's talk just a little bit about what changes have taken place and what's happening in the assessment world in education right now.
Okay, so of course we've been on a bit of a roller coaster in South Carolina the last couple of years with testing. We've changed tests, and that's part of the reason why assessment is such a hot topic right now. We had the PASS test in English Language Arts and Mathematics, and then last year we had the Aspire test. And I'm happy to tell you this year we have got a test that we hope we're going to have for the next 5 years. We've got a 5-year contract on this test that we're developing, and it's called SC Ready. SC Ready in English Language Arts and Math will be for grades 3-8. And the really nice thing about this assessment, it's going to do a little bit of what PASS did and a little bit of what ACT Aspire did, in that it's going to give us a score that thoroughly tests our South Carolina standards so that you know how your child is doing at each individual grade level. But it's also going to have a normative component that allows us to see how is this child doing outside, compared to students outside of South Carolina. So it's a nationally normed and a criterion reference test, which is going to help us have some perspective for in-state and out-of-state. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. We're also giving our SC Pass test in science and social studies, so that has not changed, and that's a good thing. So we have some consistency there.
I know there is some concern sometimes from parents and teachers about how much testing we are doing, and can you talk to me just a little bit about why we are doing the tests that we're doing, and why is it important? Why do we need the different kinds of data?
I'll start with that one.
Okay.
The purpose of assessment is to improve teaching and learning. I hate to use this comparison, but we all know we've got our bathroom scale, you know, in our bathrooms. And you get on there and you see where you are on that weight loss, hopefully not a weight gain, but it's a way to measure. Mm-hmm. And so you take those results and then you try to improve your teaching and learning. It's all about the students' learning. Mm-hmm. So they're what confuses the debate so many times that there's so many different types of assessments. I mean, from the simple assessment of the teacher standing up and saying, did you get the right answer? Yes, thumbs up or thumbs down. That's an assessment, to be honest.
Right.
But they're all different kinds of assessments. Some are required by federal or state law. You've got some that are district, mm-hmm. some that are school, some that are an individual teacher, like your Friday spelling test. That's an assessment.
Right.
So I think a lot of times we hear all about all the different types of assessments. Some are used to capture what the student knows at the end of the year, some in the middle of the year, mm-hmm. and parents see this as a time away from instruction. But the key is how to quickly get that quick turnaround from those assessment results and improve teaching and learning.
Right.
That's the goal. Do we do it well? And sometimes yes, sometimes no, I'm going to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's the big issue.
So there is a learning curve for the teachers too, and being purposeful,
yes,
about what we choose to assess, mm-hmm. and then using the assessment to really be for that purpose and inform instructional practice.
Absolutely. I think the most important thing, though, is that we find a comfortable mix. Mm-hmm. I think any high-quality assessment system has two components. It has a formative component, mm-hmm. and a summative component. The individual classroom teacher really needs to have relative and instant feedback to inform their instruction, yes. But then also, we can't take the results at the classroom level to determine how well our students are doing,
right,
on a larger scale. Mm-hmm. So to have those summative assessments and to have some sort of national criteria for us to take a look at from time, they're just striking the balance is always the challenge.
Right. And that helps. I think that external assessment helps us see where we are,
right,
across the board in our state and nationally.
Right.
Absolutely. It informs curriculum decisions. It informs programmatic decisions. Mm-hmm. So you do have to have that statewide comparison, mm-hmm. to see how your school is performing.
And it also, you know, highlights those challenges we have. We are a state that's had a lot of academic gaps,
right,
in some of our students, and it's time to address those and raise up every student. So I think it really, in their times where we just celebrate, I mean, we celebrated the release of the Work Keys results that,
right,
last year,
yeah,
that our kids were on national par with other students, then they are ready for the careers that, and we've got some way to go with some, but it was a wonderful experience to see our students did so well compared to their national peers on that one assessment.
That is exciting. And so tell me just a little bit, when you think about how assessment might inform, we've talked a little bit about how it informs instruction, helping parents understand how it might inform them about student learning and student growth. That's a different focus than maybe how when they were in school and they had tests or assessment, it may have been more about achievement rather than growth. Or
been the greatest challenge, I think, that we've had as a state as it relates to our past assessments, is that the results have not been communicated to parents in a way that's really been able to give them a better picture, make it more relative to their students' progress toward their long-term goals.
Mm-hmm.
We're certainly doing some things here in the recent past to change that paradigm, and that's a point of celebration as well, because student results now are really moving towards more fluid conversations with a larger group of stakeholders, for
mm-hmm.
instance, job creators, business owners, our chambers of commerce. When they look at Work Keys results, that's a whole lot more meaningful.
Right.
For those potential employers,
mm-hmm.
absolutely.
So we've got some tips here that you all are prepared to share with parents and teachers and community members. And these tips are to sort of help us see how we can gauge success and how to find out more. So would you like to tell us just a little bit about these?
I will go through a few of them. The first one is one of the most important. Find out what tests are given at your child's school. We have a state schedule of the end of year tests that are given, but you know, in your individual school, you'll have formative assessments. Find out when those tests are going to be given. If you don't have that information, ask your child's teacher or principal about that. And when you know when those tests are, make sure you avoid scheduling conflicts. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, sick children happen, but if you can withhold on doing those special trips to grandmothers just while we're getting through these assessments, mm-hmm. it would really help the child. And most of all, when you're really trying to help your child succeed in school, it's setting those daily times of reading, of limited interruptions where they're focusing on their schoolwork, where mom and dad and grandmother and grandfather are sitting there with them and talking about the homework, applying it to the everyday life. That is so important for kids to see that connection of understanding why we have to understand division, because we're baking a cake or we're dividing the recipe in half. So it's a great way to do that. The more you do and talk about it, those are big things.
How it applies to the real world.
And I would say, especially for your older kids that tend to overschedule their lives, or sometimes mom and dad can overschedule, just teaching them the time management. Don't wait till the last minute. You know, begin studying 3-4 days ahead of time. Right. Really budget your time well. That's a big life skill that our students need to learn.
It is. And I know some parents may also not realize that not all schools give all the same tests. So being proactive and finding out if you're in a new school or at a different level what tests are being offered, right?
And why is the big question, to say what will this test mean and how can I look at the results and then help my child where he or she is struggling or where they're doing really well to keep them going. But parents need that, because teachers need that support from the home, and so this is a way for us to work together.
And I think the why has been an important question administrators and districts have also been asking, because I know in my district we've been evaluating what do we really need to assess and what can we let go of and what is most important that will help us reach our goals. So do you have any guidance for navigating those waters and prioritizing?
Well, I would say just exactly those same questions you're talking about. What data are we getting? Is it meaningful data? Is it being communicated to the child and to the parent to change something, or to at least to inform? And if it's not being used, sometimes we give tests and we don't use the results. Right. If it's not being used, ask yourself, do you really need to give that test?
Right. Not just because we've always given it.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So let's see. Another one of the tips we have is we've already talked about setting a daily time, discussing homework with your child. When students are given tests and they have to make up tests, is there a particular window that they have to have those tests made up within, or is there an open-ended time for parents to?
Depends if it's summative or formative. Right. If it's a formative test, that's a local decision. If it's a summative state test, there are certain days that they have to make it up, and schools are very, very good at communicating that with parents because, as you know, the federal government requires we test 95%. Mm-hmm. So schools are very careful to make sure we retest. I've heard stories about them going out to the community to test if they have to. So they want to make sure they get accurate results from all children.
And what can students do if they're homebound and they're not able to be at school for testing? What options do those students have?
Schools go to great lengths to work that out with parents on an individual basis. And again, I've seen many homebound teachers testing in the home because the child is too sick to come in.
So the parents should expect the school to be in communication.
Most definitely.
Absolutely.
Okay. We've got some more tips now. Would any of you like to talk about any of these?
The one that I think a lot of our students, and it's on both extremes, so those real high-achieving students who get upset over test dates, and they feel the pressure, and a lot of times they bring it on themselves because we have those high-achieving
right.
students. Just for the parents to really instill upon them, this is just do your best. I used to say just shine and show what you know. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. Because the term high-stakes testing is often thrown around a lot nationally and in our state. And to be perfectly honest, we we don't really have high-stakes testing for students. I mean, whether you pass this SC Ready or not, it's not going to change whether you're promoted or
going
not.
To the next grade.
That's it. Right. So for students, I just tell them, really just show us what you know. Mm-hmm. Do your best. The more relaxed you are, the better you'll do. And for parents, that same, you know, just don't push them too much. Just really keep monitoring over time their progress. And that's what I would tell parents. You need to know where your child is, especially on two things, reading and math. Those are the critical components. Right. They need to know where they are.
Mm-hmm. And helping, I think, focus on the learning.
Right. And enjoying learning for the sake of learning.
We don't want the testing to kill that enthusiasm for learning.
It's funny. I was talking with my own children about their PSAT results. I have an 8th grader who took it and a 10th grader who took it. So they both took the PSAT. And they were both talking about, how do I improve this score the next time? And one of the key tips I would say is read more. Mm-hmm. I mean, just that daily habit of reading more for pleasure will really take those scores up. And we were comparing our scores with a child that has her star by her name for all the books she's read this year on the school chart, mm-hmm. and her scores were higher. So that's a natural test-taking tip that we don't think about.
And it's something simple that they can start as early as preschool or even earlier, just that daily reading.
That's it. And one of the big things is time management for kids going away to college. They've got to learn how to balance all those skills without mom or dad standing over them. So I've talked to a lot of our colleges and universities. They said that is the one area. They can come in with all the AP credits they want, but if they've not learned that time management, mm-hmm. when you have all these distractions in college, that's the issue.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think it's hard for mom and dad to let go, to let them learn that time management too, and that's sort of an assessment in and of itself.
personal assessment, yes.
I think so. I think also another important area, and it may not be a tip that we have listed, but relativity. Mm. To me, is a tremendous factor as it relates to student success and their ability to perform well, particularly this last year when we saw a number of juniors across the state have access to, for the first time, an assessment that really would determine what they would be able to do when they left high school. Mm-hmm. That was not a very hard conversation for school administrators to have.
Right.
Hey, come in, we're going to get ready for this assessment, and if you do well, this is what you can do afterwards. So the level of relativity just really increased, I think, the students' ability to see the value in what took place and parents as well.
Let's create some enthusiasm around taking the test.
And I think the really nice thing about doing it in the junior year is that if you don't do as well as you want to do, you have opportunities in the senior year to take those tests again. And you're talking about ACT, but I'm also including work keys. Mm-hmm. Both of those two high school assessments that have portable scores that you can apply to college with or apply to a job with ultimately can be retaken in the 12th grade year. Mm-hmm. So, and that's at the student's choice because they want to get it better. Mm-hmm. And that's just a win-win.
We've got some questions that we've received from some of our viewers. So I'm going to throw some of these out there, and if it's something you feel comfortable answering, I'll let you answer. So this one I think might be one for you, Sean. This is from a parent who says that my child's a 4th grade student. Where can I find out the test my child has to take this year?
Extremely important, and I'll restate something that Melanie shared earlier. The first point of contact would really be that classroom teacher or the student school, because the local assessments will be different from district to district, and they'll be different from grade level to grade level. So the best place to go for the most authentic information would be that individual classroom teacher, but then also the leadership at that school.
So another question that we received is from another parent who says, my 9th grade son really struggles with reading, and he took 3 different tests this past fall. I like that my school is trying so hard to help him, but why so many tests?
And again, that goes back to what did that test want to measure? Was it the child's comprehension? Mm-hmm. Was it vocabulary? If I were that parent, I would schedule a time to come sit down and talk to his English teacher and say, show me the test, tell me what it showed, what you're doing to help my child, and what I can do to help you. That's the teamwork working together. But I would really, especially for children who are struggling, that's what I would do. And if you don't feel comfortable doing that, because I know a lot of parents have had bad experiences with their own life, take someone with you, take a friend, take someone else who can help you ask those questions. Mm-hmm. Could even be a medical provider, pediatrician or whatever, just to say, we're concerned, what can we do?
Right.
That's the main thing.
And I can tell you that classroom teacher would be delighted for that parent to walk through the door
Absolutely.
And ask that question.
Yes.
And sometimes the tests are not optional.
Correct.
So sometimes they may not have a choice about giving the test.
That's right.
So just being understanding that that's also.
Yes, that's it. That's
part it. Of
finding
it.
out the why again.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Mm-hmm. This is a question from a teacher. And the teacher says, I liked that the tests we gave last year were shorter. Will that stay the same for this year?
Great question. The SC Ready test is a little longer than the Aspire test that we took last year for two reasons. First of all, we're trying to do two things, a criterion reference on our state standards and a nationally normed test. So we have part of the questions coming from Terra Nova, which is a nationally normed normative testing venue or vendor, and then we also have our state developed items. So the tests are going to be a little around 2 hours each day. Their ELA is taken over 2 days, so there's a writing portion, and the writing piece will be very different. Last year the tests were all timed.
Mm-hmm.
This year the tests are all untimed, which we're excited about because kids can really take their time and do their very best. The writing piece this year is a text-based writing, so the students are going to read something, and they're going to make a claim about what they've read or make a point and support that point with information from the piece that they've read. So that kind of writing test takes a little bit longer than the type of writing they did last year.
And I can hear the sigh of relief from here from some teachers about the time test.
Yes, definitely. And then the math is, again, about 2 hours as well, but that's because we've got a calculator portion and a non-calculator portion. We've got to take up those calculators and give out the other part of the test.
Mm-hmm.
If the students are online, the calculator will pop up when they need it and be gone when they don't need it. So the online testers will see those items mixed.
Okay, that's good to know. Mm-hmm. This is another question from a teacher, and it says, at our school, we used to make a big deal of the test at the end of the year, but that doesn't happen anymore. I want my kids to do the best they can, but it is at the end of the school year and my kids are tired. Is it okay for me to do special things to get my kids interested in the test?
Absolutely. I think one of the best teachers my children had one time, they put a little chocolate on the desk and they said, you know, chocolate helps the brain to do well. You're going to just do. I think it's just the positive atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. You know, some of our districts up in the Cherokee area are doing some really innovative things about motivating, not, you know, academics from a competitive standpoint, not a negative, but a real positive. And I think that's what we need to get into, that learning is fun. Learning allows you to achieve, and it allows you to have a career down the road and a life that you can do everything that you want to do. So I think the more I see schools that really have those great pep rallies, I mean, you do it for the football teams, you do it for the why not for the students? And I enjoy that. I think it helps. And then you talk about the positives of the results. You don't talk about the negatives. You talk about the challenges.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what we did well on, and we're going to improve, and this is what I want you to help us with next year. It's all how you, I hate to use the word spin, but it is how you spin it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are children, and we want to motivate them. We want to have them aspire to the best they can be.
Right.
So that's the point.
It's the job of the teachers and administrators to look at where there are deficits.
Correct.
And make the change,
right.
Not for the parents and the students.
That's right.
But with that being said, I think it's very important that local school districts make a strong effort not to schedule tremendous amounts of instructional time in preparation for an examination. Instructional time is valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do the job that we intend to do, and we share with students high expectations as it relates to the content, they'll perform as long as we've done our job to align those expectations as well. But we certainly cannot take chunks 3-4 weeks at a time of that instructional time away with structured activity just focused on preparation for an assessment.
That's it.
It just needs to be the way the learning happens throughout the year, all year.
Correct.
So we have another question. This is about the MAP test, and it's the teacher's perspective, and it is, my district gives the MAP test 3 times a year. I use this information much more than I do information from the state test. Can we just use the MAP test instead of both?
Well, no, unfortunately not. Our tests are outlined in state law, and that is not our vendor for our state test. However, I highly endorse using a product like MAP for its diagnostic purposes, because you're going to be able to, with that MAP score, drill down to exactly what the child is strong in and exactly what the child needs to work on. And in the past, we've had a very high correlation between MAP and our state test. Mm-hmm. And we'll be looking to make those connections again. We've got a formative assessment set of tests that we're looking at. Do they correlate well to our state tests? And so we can give schools that feedback. And that data is invaluable mm-hmm. on a daily basis for the parent and for mm-hmm. the student and for the mm-hmm. teacher.
I know the teachers really use those MAP tests to, like you said, drill down, but really plan for instruction.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Right. But we also have to remember that MAP is a formative assessment. That's a local decision.
Right.
All the school districts in South Carolina don't currently use MAP.
Exactly. Right. So not everyone is doing that 3 times a year.
That's right.
let's do one more question. We have time for maybe one more, and this is a parent's perspective. And it's about MAP again. If a parent wanted to find out about their student's MAP assessment and how well their child did on that MAP assessment, what kinds of questions do they need to ask to interpret that data? And who would they need to go to get the information?
I think that's a scheduled parent conference mm-hmm. With the classroom teacher, preferably the teacher of that subject area. With specific questions like, is my student currently meeting expectations in your course? Mm-hmm. Can you show me how that's represented in this set of scores? Well, based on these results, it shows that he or she is doing well on these things, but they're struggling or they're challenged with these things. Mm-hmm. What are you doing in class to help him or her on these things that they're struggling with? What can I do as a parent at home to help with those things as well?
Right.
Even on the side of their strengths. Well, what can we do to extend his or her learning in these areas as well? Mm-hmm. But if that parent conference is made, I guarantee that the teacher would be very willing to guide a parent mm-hmm. through that process.
Mm-hmm. So really, it's all of this really boils down to a lot of communication between the district, the teachers, and the parents and the community.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you all so much for helping clear up some of the confusion that's maybe out there, but also helping us. That's all the time we have for today. Teachers, we'd like to show the great things that are happening in your Carolina classrooms. We invite you to submit a short video, 2 minutes or less, showcasing what you are doing with your students. We might just include it on a future episode. Please visit our website at scetv.org/education to find out the rules and how to submit your video. That's our time for now. We hope to see you next month on Carolina Classrooms. For everyone at ETV, I'm Dawn Samples. Thank you for watching and good night.
Well, thanks very much, Dawn, for letting us use this audio to better inform people regarding assessment in South Carolina schools. The audio today from the ETV production Carolina Classrooms, which is still available on the South Carolina ETV website. Go to scetv.org/education and you can find that telecast which aired back in February. Speaking of schools comes from South Carolina's Department of Education, and it's a weekly feature here at this website. I'm Doug Keith. We'll have another Speaking of Schools for you next week and hope that you can join us at that time. Our podcast, a regular feature, and we appreciate the pleasure of your company. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll be back and we'll have another Speaking of Schools next week.